Praise the Lord. Because of a personal situation that came up unexpectedly, Brother Minoru was not able to be with us today. He was here yesterday, but had to leave in an urgent way, something that requires his personal presence. He will join us by Skype this morning. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, in the next hour or so, three brothers will share some of the highlights and the burden from the recent interroad in Addis Ababa, in Ethiopia. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For Addis Ababa.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll begin sharing. It's very difficult to control the time. the title of this, the general subject of this time's intro is a wonderful title. I think it's a title that I will never forget. Just the title itself is so enjoyable. So this morning, if I just convey the burden, the enjoyment, the riches of this title, I feel like it's good enough for me. The title, I hope that we could eventually say it together, it's called The Propagating the Resurrected, Ascended, and All-Inclusive Christ as the Development of the Kingdom of God. Amen. Let's say that again. Propagating the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ as the development of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Propagating. Propagating. It begins with not a noun, but a verb. Propagating. All nine messages from the training was developed from the book of Acts. And we see that in the book of Acts, this matter of propagation, it's not just the propagation in the sense of passing out some literature, not just in propagation in the sense of going somewhere, but propagating a person.
Amen.
It is propagating in the sense of reproducing. So in John 12:24, we see the Lord as a grain of wheat who went and to the earth to die.
Amen.
And from his death and resurrection, he produced many grains.
Amen.
This is the propagation.
Amen.
The propagating is by this life which is sown into his believers.
Amen.
And then in Acts 5:14, there it says that the believers were added to the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't just say that the believers were added to the church, but it says that the believers were added to the Lord.
Amen.
Brothers, do you have a sense that when you got saved, you were added to the Lord?
Amen.
You become part of the Lord.
Amen.
You become part of a wonderful person.
Amen.
This corporate me. You become his increase,
Amen.
His multiplication.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Propagating
Amen.
This resurrected Christ.
Amen.
This Christ in his resurrection become this life not only for us to enjoy, but for us to propagate. When he was on the earth, he was physically constrained. When he was in one place, he could not be in another place. But when he died and resurrected, he became the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Coming into you and me.
Amen.
When we receive him, when we believe into him, when we call on him,
Amen.
Faith come into us.
Amen.
A living person come into us.
Amen.
Propagation come into us.
Amen.
Resurrected Christ come into us.
Amen.
We are propagating such a Christ.
Amen.
is Christ is not only resurrected, but also ascended. So in the book of Acts, we see not only a resurrected Christ, but a Christ that has been exalted. God has exalted to the highest, to the heavens. Let me look up the utterance here. It's very wonderful. He was exalted. The Lord's ascension brought him into a new stage. In this new stage, this resurrected one is now sitting in the heavens to execute God's administration. He is in the heavens, exalted by God, and is given the lordship, the kingship, and the headship over all things.
Amen.
Brothers, the Lord is the Lord.
Amen.
It's the head, and he's the king.
Amen.
He is ruling over all the situations.
Amen.
All the situations are ripe.
Amen.
Are prepared. For what? For his propagation.
Amen.
This ascended Christ is now in the heavens. He is the Lord of all to possess all. We are the propagators of such an ascended Christ. I just feel that we need to see that the Christ that we have is not just the resurrected Christ. But he is today, he is the ascended Christ. He is resurrected Christ in life, but he is the ascended Christ in position, in power, in administration. He rules over all the circumstances. So everything is right that we will propagate such a one.
Amen.
Lastly, the Christ revealed in Acts is the all-inclusive Christ. We usually don't think of the book of Acts talking about Christ's all-inclusiveness. But so many aspects of Christ was revealed in the book of Acts. Christ is the author of life. We see that Christ is the source of life. Christ is God's servant. Christ is the leader and savior.
Amen.
Christ is the Son of Man.
Amen.
Christ is God.
Amen.
Christ is the Lord of all.
Amen.
Christ is the judge. Christ is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The object of the believer's faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And this Christ in his propagation will be developed not for, but as the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is a living person. In Luke 17, when people were asking the Lord, show us the signs concerning the kingdom. The Lord said, the kingdom is not observable. You can't see it. But the kingdom of God is in your midst. Well, who was in their midst? The Lord Jesus was in their midst. Christ is the kingdom. Not only he is the king, but he is the kingdom. He is the seed of kingdom sown into us. When he came in, the kingdom comes in. The reality of the kingdom comes in. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is simply a realm where God can do whatever he wants.
Amen.
Where his will be done. So when this Christ is propagated, he will gain a realm. My prayer is that, Lord, come into me.
Amen.
Make me the reality of the kingdom.
Amen.
That you can do whatever you want.
Amen.
May your will be done.
Amen.
May your kingdom come.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lastly, I just want to share in message 3, which is something that I've really been enjoying, that in order for us to propagate such a Christ, we have to be witnesses. We have to be witnesses of the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ. In Acts 26:16, the Lord appointed Paul to be not only a minister, but also a witness. A witness is someone who has first-hand experience. Someone who has seen, heard, or touched a particular thing that he is qualified to witness. To witness an event, to witness a living person. As we propagate such a one, may we not be just someone that passed on some knowledge, but rather someone who has this fresh experience to be able to testify in a powerful way, this living person. And I really enjoyed that when Paul was a witness, he was a witness of the things in which he has seen the Lord and of the things in which the Lord will appear to him. So this means that this witnessing is continuous.
Amen.
It's ongoing.
Amen.
Every day we need to have a fresh seeing.
Amen.
We can't witness, or we're not that adequate to witness something that we saw 20 years ago. That we experienced something that we vaguely remember.
Amen.
We need to have a fresh seeing.
Amen.
For a fresth witnessing.
Amen.
Not only in the things that we have seen the Lord, but also in the things that he will appear to us.
Amen.
We need to pray, Lord, appear to me.
Amen.
Appear to me every day.
Amen.
That I will be your fresh, continuous witness.
Amen.
That we will, in our witnessing, the propagation is done.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The handoff. Well, brothers, bear with us. We're going pretty fast. We're on message 4 now. You get it? Did you miss anything? Praise the Lord for propagating the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ as the development of the kingdom of God. In message 4, I would like to stress one point. This message is on shepherding the flock of God according to God by being patterns of the flock. And this statement was made. The local church history, or the history of the Lord's recovery, is a history of patterning. The Lord's recovery is carried out by patterns from one generation to another. Excuse me, my handwriting's not so good. The work of God in this age is carried out through his patterns. What the saints need today in the church life are patterns, witnesses to the resurrection, the resurrected Christ, to the ascended Christ, to the all-inclusive Christ. Consider your own history, brothers. How were you gained by the Lord? Certainly, there was the revelation. There is the unveiling of Christ. Paul even said, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. One day, the Son of God was revealed in us. All right? That's what Paul said the Lord was pleased to do. But after that, what followed? What followed was the nourishment. I wouldn't just say encouragement, but the nourishment, the perfecting that came from a pattern who you could see, who you could witness, who you could follow in the same steps. That's why we know Paul was a pattern to the believers. Even in Philippians chapter 1, he said that he would be a medium or an environment in which the saints grow.
Amen.
You know, this is what Paul was. He was a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Without Paul, the revelation of Christ would be left orphaned, would not have an environment in which it will grow. But we see in the life of Paul, he was a pattern to the believers. And as if to stress it, the Lord gave me two page 27s in my book here. I said, what's this doing over here? But just look at this list, saints. A through N. O. All the whole second half of this message. All right. Roman numeral 2 says, we must shepherd the flock of God by being patterns of the flock. The Apostle Paul as a pattern to all the believers, the members of the body of Christ, lived Christ for his magnification as his continuation. Didn't you see this in some brothers? Certainly we saw this in our dear brother Lee. We saw a pattern of someone living by another life, by denying his own life to live the life of Christ. Amen. This is the patterning. The Lord's recovery is a history of patterning. Amen. Will the Lord's recovery go on? It's all together hinges on, will the Lord have patterns raised up? Who, of course, through their ministry, but through their living, through their conduct, through their speech, through their everything, they become a pattern to be followed. Right? This is what's needed in the growth of human life. This is why they say it's vital for children to have a father in their environment who will pattern what human life is. If they don't have a pattern, the life does not grow properly. This is just a biological development. All the much more in the Lord's recovery today. What's the Lord need in the church where we are? He needs patterns.
Amen.
He needs someone whose living inspires you to grow in that way.
Amen.
This was Paul.
Amen.
This was Paul. Just feast on these 15 aspects of his living. A disciple of Christ, seeing Christ, hearing Christ, learning Christ as the reality is in Jesus.
Amen.
A chosen vessel of Christ to contain
Amen.
Him, be filled with him, and overflow with him for his fullness. A man
Amen.
Of prayer who practiced calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That was this pattern of his living.
Amen.
He lived by the all-inclusive Spirit of Jesus.
Amen.
There's a whole message on the Spirit of Jesus.
Amen.
As the Spirit of the God-man who could carry out his ministry of suffering among human beings. He was always exercised to have a good and pure conscience, and so on, saints. Brothers, I hope we all were given an outline today. I think it's okay. Go ahead and read it and pray over it. Spend time in it every day. Brothers, this word is too critical and crucial for the Lord's present move.
Right? Amen.
It is absolutely a definition of the Lord's present move.
Amen.
Then in message 5, moving right along, this message comes at the very center of these 9 messages, and it is on the Christ as the stone Savior. You know, every message up to this point you can take and you can receive it personally, and you need to, and even individually, which you don't need to, which we shouldn't. Because here in message number 5, it's stressed that Christ as the stone Savior. Everything else Christ is up until this point is for our edification, for our development. But Christ as the stone Savior is uniquely for God's building.
Amen.
Really has nothing to do with you.
Amen.
And everything to do with you.
Amen.
This is the governing vision. Listen to this. This is quite striking when it was read. This is Roman numeral 2C, 1 and 2. As the all-inclusive stone, Christ is the centrality of God's move for the building up of his eternal habitation.
Amen.
We lose sight, saints. We're not here to be developed. We're not here to be perfected. We're here for God's building.
Amen.
then listen. Everything Christ is, everything he has done, and everything he is doing are due to the fact that he is the cornerstone.
Amen.
Think about that. Would you relate everything he's done, everything he's doing, everything he will do to his being the cornerstone? This shows how much deeply in God's heart is the matter of his building.
Amen.
Today on the earth we see millions, maybe billions of Christians. But where is God's building? Where is God's testimony? Where is God's kingdom? Where is God's heart? Right? Certainly it is in the stone that was set at naught by the builders, which has become the head of the corner. So it says in Acts 4, 10 through, this is point 3, Acts 4, 10 through 12, Peter proclaimed Christ as the stone Savior. Has this gospel ever been proclaimed? Consider our gospel. What is our gospel? Jesus died for our sins? Yeah. That's the gospel preached by everyone who preaches the gospel. But brothers, the Lord needs us today in his recovery to experience him as the chief cornerstone. Stonifying us. Making us suitable for God's building. And able to proclaim Christ as the stone Savior. What dearth, what void there is today among Christians. And we even have to say in our own experience, how much is Christ the cornerstone of God's building? It's in the training when this message came, I just felt like the sun was coming up over the horizon. I just said, oh, this is it. This is what it's all about. Christ is the stone set at naught by the builders, which has become the head of the corner. What are we propagating? We are propagating Christ as the stone Savior who will transform those who receive him into precious stones, suitable, fit only for God's building. Not for our show, not for our gain, not for our success, but for his building. Right? So, saints, this is a real, everything's just wonderful. Okay, now here's where I ran into trouble in my book because I have page 26, 27 two times, and then I jumped to page 45. So give me a minute here. You might have the same. Okay, now I'm coming to, I'm looking for 40. Thank you, Jerry. So I go from 30 to 43. All right. Message 6. This is so precious, brothers, especially for all you young brothers. All your brothers in your now young is 30 and 40. Especially your brothers in your 30s. Keeping ourselves in the one flow of the Lord's work. One flow. The Lord's work has only one flow. God is one. The church is one. The ministry is one. The flow. Because the flow of God is one. And his intention, God's intention, we know from the scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation, is to become a flowing fountain of life to all his believers. Are we in the flow? Are we drinking our Christ? Is he flowing in you? Is he flowing in me? Is he flowing in the meetings of the church where you are? Is he meeting the need of the thirsty and hungry ones among us? Do we have a supply of this flowing river for every person we meet? Are we a minister of this living flow? Well, listen, here's what we're talking about. This is so wonderful, brothers. The flowing of the divine life, which started on the day of Pentecost and has been flowing throughout all generations to this day, is just one stream.
Amen.
Don't ever believe it's different. Don't ever think outside the sphere of this one flow there is any work of God. There may be your work. There may be your aspiration. There may be your view, but it would not be God's flow. Keep yourself in this flow. For God's goal to build up the church for his corporate expression. This is all that is in God's heart. And this is what we need to keep ourselves. A says, when we give the Lord the preeminence in our... Listen, this is so wonderful. When we give the Lord the preeminence in our entire being, making him our first love. Anything short of that is an idol. Anything short of that is a distraction. We need to go to the Lord. We need to check with the Lord. Lord, are there idols in my heart? Have I made your work my idol? Do I care more for my success, for my acclaim, for my good results than I do for you? The first, and it says, when we give the Lord the preeminence in our entire being, we all need to go home and go to the Lord, brothers, and just say, Lord, do I give you the preeminence in my entire being? Is there anything I feel more important, more preeminent in my living than you? Anything. Could be your family. Could be your career. Could be your spiritual knowledge. Anything. When we do this, making him our first love, he becomes the divine stream to us.
Amen.
He becomes the divine stream to you personally. Flowing within us and out of us.
Amen.
As the first works.
Amen.
The first works are the works that are motivated by, issue from, and express the Lord as our first love.
Amen.
Only works that are motivated by the first love are gold,
Amen.
Silver, and precious stones.
Amen.
Isn't this precious? You know, in the context of the situation there in Ethiopia, the testimony of the church in Addis Ababa was given. And it's really the testimony of a group of young saints whose heart had been captured by the Lord and to whom the Lord was given the preeminence. And because of that heart condition, they were in the divine flow. But, you know, they never knew... They thought Witness Lee was Watchman Nee's wife. That's pretty funny, huh? They didn't know anything. They got a few books by Watchman Nee, and their heart was seeking the Lord to give him the preeminence. And when they found Living Stream Ministry online, and they found the brothers, they said, my goodness, What is this? They thought they were the only people on the earth practicing the church life. Watchman Nee was in China. He was martyred, so there was nothing around, just us. Lord, we're here to give you the preeminence. When they met the brothers in 2005, instantly they realized this is the Lord's present work. This is the Lord's recovery. And I'm getting the nod from Brother... Anyway, it's all in the books, brothers. I hope you'll take my word of admonition and spend your time in these messages personally. Amen.
Yeah, all we can do is give you the 30,000-foot flyover, right, of this. But you have to go back and get into it, brothers. This was exceptional because while we were there, we were in it, right? You're reading about the book of Acts, but we're in it. It was stressed that the book of Acts has no ending. It has not ended. Don't think the book of Acts ended. Did God's move end? Is God not working anymore? Is the Spirit not moving? No. So we are the continuation of the book of Acts. We are in Acts 29, and to be there in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, you really even more realized we're right here. Here's Acts. You know, it's interesting that one of the first spreads in the book of Acts was to an Ethiopian eunuch, right? And there we were seeing the fruit of that, right? There's been something in Ethiopia of the Lord for thousands of years because of that, right? But now we see this gospel of the stone Savior, right, of the firstborn Son of God is spreading throughout Africa. And it's just going to spread there probably faster than anywhere else just because the situation is in so much poverty and so much hunger and so much joy when they receive it, right? I want to go back to the table of contents just real quick here. These titles, right? There's a flow here. First, we saw the propagating, right? You have to get the word propagating, right? Propagating the resurrected Christ. And one brother said, what we saw in this training, everything was from Acts, but we saw a synopsis of the intrinsic significance and organic reality of the book of Acts. To me, the book of Acts, I was in the Acts training and I never got this, right? It was, you can see it's organic. You know, there's no dichotomy between the propagating and the inward life, right? The propagating is what's going on all through the book of Acts. Yet the emphasis in so many of the messages were things like witnesses, patterns, right? Our living. Our work is our living. Our living is our work. Our person is our work. There's no dichotomy here. We need both, right? If we're really living Christ, Christ is a propagating life, right? If we say we're living Christ, but there's no increase, something's wrong. On the other hand, if we're just for an outward work, you know, we'll get off real fast, right? But so these messages are crucial right now. The Lord's burden in these days is propagating the resurrected Christ, right? Amen. Not propagating some teaching, not propagating some practices, but propagating a person, amen, right? And you know, everything here is crucial, right? They did it as witnesses. They did it as patterns. They did it by being in one flow, right? We have to, all of this was like a check. Where are we? You know, it's like, here's what was in the book of Acts. And you can, you know, match yourself up to that, right? And it was very encouraging to see, yes, there is a match. This, what we are in, is the one flow on the earth today. Amen. How we got here is just God's mercy. Right? You could never find this flow on your own. I wasn't looking for it. Probably most of us, maybe those brothers in Addis Ababa were looking for it. We weren't, most of us were not looking for it. It found us, right? Amen. Somehow we got swept up in this one flow, and to be there in Addis Ababa and realize, I am in the same thing that was there in the book of Acts, right? In the one flow of the Lord's move on the earth. It was tremendous. So the last three messages, message seven is on the Spirit of Jesus, which is how did they propagate? By the Spirit of Jesus, right? Not by plans and their own concept. In fact, the key verses there on the Spirit of Jesus are in Acts 16, right, where it says they wanted to go one direction and the Holy Spirit would not let them. They wanted to go another direction, and the Spirit of Jesus forbid them, right? And then the Lord led them into Europe, right? They spread. That shows it was not a matter of their planning. It was they were led by the Spirit of Jesus, right? It says, the move of the Apostle Paul and his co-workers for the spread of the gospel was not according to their decision and preference or according to any schedule made by human counsel, but by the Spirit of Jesus.
Amen.
And it stressed, the message stressed, we need to be constituted with the Spirit of Jesus. A big point in this message says, the kind of work we do for the Lord depends on the kind of Spirit by whom we are guided, directed, instructed, and constituted. Right? As a vessel containing the triune God, Paul was fully constituted with the Holy Spirit, which Holy Spirit stresses the mingling of God and man, because it's first mentioned at the incarnation and birth conception of Christ, who was involved with the Lord's incarnation and birth, and with the Spirit of Jesus, who was involved with the Lord's humanity, human living, all-inclusive death, life-imparting resurrection, and ascension. Paul was a person constituted with this all-inclusive Spirit. Thus, he could truly preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? If the Spirit becomes our constitution, then our work will be the expression of this Spirit. And we will do a work for Jesus as the incarnated one with humanity, human living, death, resurrection, and ascension.
Amen.
So we need more experience of the Spirit of Jesus. It was emphasized there in Africa and maybe a lot of places, the Christians are looking for the Spirit of power, right? That's the Old Testament, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of God. But in the New Testament, it's the Spirit of Jesus,
Amen.
Right? It's the Holy Spirit, the mingling of God and man. It's not just God's Spirit coming upon you. It's mingling with you, right? It's the Spirit of a God-man, right? Then message 8, as the development of the kingdom of God. The brothers stress this word as is important. It's not the propagating the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ for the development of the kingdom. It's as the development. The kingdom of God is just this person.
Amen.
But not this person just in himself, but this person being enlarged,
Amen.
Being spread,
Amen.
Being propagated.
Amen.
So the brothers can testify, the kingdom of God is spreading on the continent of Africa, right?
Amen.
This person is being enlarged and multiplied throughout Africa. And again, you know, that I was freshly touched. What we're doing, I wrote down a note to myself at the end of this training. We are not playing games. We're not playing games. We're serious about bringing the Lord back.
Amen.
Ron shared again, you know, as he shared many times recently, but it hits me more each time, right? The focus of the Lord's recovery today, the goal of the Lord's recovery today is the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? It's the building up of the body of Christ, which has never happened. No matter what the Lord's been able to do throughout 2,000 years of history, the body has never been built. Today, it's not the local churches. It's the building up of the body. Right? And again, you could see that. You could see it happening. Or like Jim said, you see it coming up on the horizon. You could see the body is being built across this whole earth.
Amen.
And when the body is built, that is the preparation of the bride. Right? And that will be the army. Right? The bridal army, which eventually becomes the stone, which becomes the mountain, which is the kingdom.
Amen.
So when we're talking about the kingdom, we're talking about bringing in the kingdom.
Amen.
We're talking about becoming the kingdom,
Amen.
which will bring the Lord back. Our goal in the Lord's recovery should not be anything else. We're not here to have a nice church life. We're here to bring in the kingdom, right?
Amen.
We're here for the development of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And then the final message, the divine commission, according to the heavenly vision, for the continuation of the book of Acts in the unique flow of the divine stream. As Jim shared, we're in this one flow, right? And this one flow, this message talks about how this flow came to Paul and swept up Paul in this one flow. We've been swept up also. With the same heavenly vision, right?
Amen.
He received a heavenly vision. If you look under Roman numeral 2a, Paul was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What's the heavenly vision? The heavenly vision is, in the ministry, the central vision of the Apostle Paul, right? Which has three main points. Man as a vessel to contain and be filled with and express the processed and consummated triune God. And Christ as the mystery of God. And the church as the mystery of Christ. This is the central vision. And the brothers recommended, and I would recommend, the messages that are being given in the full-time training, the Wednesday night messages, are on this central vision. Again, there's no contradiction between the central vision and the propagation. We are propagating the central vision. We don't want to be propagating something else, right? And then I was very touched by B there. Once you have seen a vision of God's plan and have been converted from everything to Christ himself, there will be something within you energizing you to carry out God's plan. Amen. This vision will become your burden, and you will live and labor in the continuation of the book of Acts. Amen. So we need to go to the Lord and pray. Lord, show me the same thing you showed Paul, right? I think in our morning revival this week, right? Brother said, Paul said he was given grace, less than the least of all saints. So you can go to the Lord and demand, Lord, you gave it to Paul, who said he's less than me. So, Lord, give me the same grace. Amen. I may not have the same gift, but I can receive the same grace. Amen. The grace is to see the heavenly vision. Amen. You know, I told a brother one time, I think if I saw the heavenly vision like Paul saw the heavenly vision, I wouldn't have to be told, try to speak to some one person every day about the Lord, right? I don't think anybody had to tell Paul that. He was obsessed. He was possessed. But that shows I'm not so possessed by this vision, right? So I need to pray, Lord, grant me this grace. Amen. Show me this vision. Amen. That this vision will become my burden. Amen. And I will live and labor in the continuation of the book of Acts, right? And then the last point was the upper room consecration, right? Upper room consecration is a different consecration than just giving yourself to Jesus. It's an all-out, sell-all consecration, right? In the upper room, they gave up their culture, they gave up their families, they gave up their relatives, they gave up their background, they gave up their possessions, they sold all, you know? And I was thinking, you know, Jim told me one time about his experience of touching the Lord in Eldon Hall. The meeting was just a meeting of consecration. It was going, Brother Lee couldn't even speak for the first few meetings because the meetings were just filled with saints standing up because they'd seen this vision and they wanted to consecrate their whole being and their families and all their possessions to the Lord for this vision. I believe that was the fire of Eldon Hall. That was the source of the fire. And at the end of this conference, I told a brother later, I thought we could have ended the meeting we could have gone on for about 2 hours with brothers just coming up to the microphones and consecrating themselves. It was the same kind of atmosphere, except Eldon Hall was, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 people. This was 1,500 brothers from all over the whole earth, right? But we need the same kind of consecration. We need an upper room consecration, right? We need to see the heavenly vision and pour ourselves out for this. Now we'll have some brothers share on their impressions of the Lord's move there.
Well, before this era, many of us probably don't know where Addis Ababa was. I have no idea where the Addis Ababa was. But we probably know where Ethiopia is because of Acts 8, right? The Acts 8, Philip, led by the Spirit, went to save this eunuch on his chariot. Then we often use this account to encourage people to get baptized. But this time I was so impressed that actually, the gospel went to the Gentile world first to Ethiopia. It was even before the house of Cornelius. But this part of such a great continent, over a billion people, was pretty much a close in fellowship, right, with all the churches and with the saints outside of that world until today. So this particular itero was full of significance, mainly that there are over 50 countries, over 1,200 brothers. And out of these 1,200 brothers, over half of them were from various countries in Africa. It was the first time that many saints, of course, there are other sisters who also went there, but this is the first time that many countries, that many brothers from so many of these countries were able to gather together, have a gathering like this. So it's hard to tell the move of the Spirit and the feeling unless you're there. Brothers, I just want to encourage you, do not miss an international conference like this next time. You know, when I landed at the Addis Ababa, I met a group of brothers from Korea. And so they were asking us, how many were from the Bay Area, you know, this and we're just having a fellowship. You know, there were over 86 saints from Korea who went to Addis Ababa for this conference. I told Jim yesterday, I feel that for Northern California, we need to have at least like 100 brothers who are there for this event. The Lord really poured down his blessing. It's a conference worth of eternal memorial. So there were over 1,200 brothers, over 50 countries were there. There are too many things to talk about, right? I have two impressions of the Lord's move there. One is that the Lord definitely gained a group of young people, yeah. Right? For the Lord to have a dispensational, Lord needs to gain a dispensational instrument, right? When he has this dispensational transfer, he has to gain the young people. And the Lord was able to gain a group of young people in Africa, especially in Ethiopia. In 1998, the Lord was able to raise up a group of brothers, right? Especially this one brother who was seeking. So he went around to all the Christian bookstores trying to find the ministry, right? Any Christian books that's able to help him to grow in life, to know the Lord. Eventually, he found the normal Christian life. So after he went to all these Christian bookstores, he found Brother Nee's writing. Then he was telling us that actually the ministry went to Ethiopia, went to Africa during the 70s. But the Christianity tried to hide these writings from them. So the seekers were not able to find any of these writings of our brother Watchman Nee. But somehow he was able to find this copy of the normal Christian life. So he got into the book. He loved the ministry. Then he mentioned that he read Watchman Nee's writing. He just felt that Watchman Nee was his spiritual father. He gathered together with three other brothers on campus, and they started reading this ministry together. Eventually, they found a normal Christian church life, and they devoured that book, right, and other writings that they were able to find. They were only able to find a few books, but after they read the normal Christian church life, they decided to start the church life there. They felt that that's the way they had to take. They cannot stay in denominations. So they told each other, they said, they had no communication, have no fellowship with any of the churches in other countries or around the globe. So their consecration to the Lord was, Lord, if no one is taking this way, we will stand for your testimonies. Amen. That's how they started the church life. Because they thought they were the only ones who were standing for God's testimony, who were practicing the way of the church. So they met together as the church. Then gradually, of course, they're still seeking the fellowship. Eventually, they found the Living Stream Ministry website. And they started to contact the brothers, right? Contact the ministry. That's when they had this comment that they found Brother Witness Lee's ministry. And they didn't know Witness Lee's brother or a sister or the wife of Watchman Nee. But as they are getting into the ministry of Brother Lee, they realize this is the same ministry of the age. It's actually, they have the same kind of taste. So they devour that ministry, right? Then eventually the co-workers came to contact them. But before the co-worker came to visit them, there were some others, right, trying to contact them. But because the taste of the ministry, because how they enjoyed the ministry, they rejected the other co-workers' visit, right? There is another group in Nigeria or something like that. They were trying to contact them. But they rejected them Ghana, right? So, but they rejected them because they felt that it was a different taste. That's how constituted, right? They acquired this taste of the ministry of the age. Then by the time of 2004, 2005, they said they praise the Lord because now the ministry is online, that they're able to read Brother Lee's ministry just from the website. Of course, even at that time, in Ethiopia, it's a dial-up. They have to dial up to download a page, you know, for quite some time for them to download a page. But I was so touched that the testimony they told us was they were gathered together waiting for that page to download. Once they download that page, they would spend 2 to 3 hours to pray over that message, to get into the verses, because they treasure the ministry so much. Then after that, they would wait for the next page to download so that they can devour and get into the ministry. Brothers, we need to love the ministry of the age.
Amen.
We don't know what we have in our hands. If you meet these brothers, you will see how they love the ministry, how they treasure the ministry, right? And we owe everything to this ministry. So actually, the Lord raised up these group of brothers by the way of the written ministry and by the move of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I said, you know, unless you're there, it's really hard for you to just be blended in this kind of experience in the body of Christ. Now, I forgot to mention that even when the brothers grouped us into a different study group, you know, I met these two brothers from Uganda. You know, I don't know if you heard about the country called Uganda. It's not the Black Panther. But Uganda. You know, there's a country only of 40 saints, and these two brothers were recently graduated from college. They just love the Lord. So we were studying together with two brothers from Uganda, a brother from Egypt, you know, from Cairo, and there's another brother from Jerusalem. There's a few from America. So we were all staying together as a one new man. But this kind of experience, you need to be there. You know, people spend thousands of dollars to buy these tickets to be at this sports event so they can have the first-hand experience. But we need to pay a little price. You know, it's very difficult for these brothers to get out of their countries. It was very difficult even for them to get to Ethiopia. You know, we heard there was a country, right? Because the people there, they didn't travel much. They ran out of visa paper because there are so many brothers trying to get a visa to go to Ethiopia, go to Addis for this meeting, you know, for this conference. So because their financial situation, because a lot of different situations, very difficult for them to get out to blend with us like this. So brothers, we need to go.
Amen.
We need to go visit them.
Amen.
Right? We need to be blended in the body of Christ.
Amen.
So the Lord raised up these young people. The second impression I had was that the Lord really used the world situation, right, to gain the churches there. Now, we heard of this China has this initiative called the One Bell, One Road. Right, so we thought that's just a way for China to colonize Africa. But the Lord actually used that to gain a lot of young people there. We might not know there was an exchange program that every year there are over 500,000 African students to go to study in China. So as the African students went to China to study, they were gained by the Lord. Actually, some of them were saved and got into the church life. And as they went back to their countries, they started the church life there. There are at least two countries, right? They were studied by these students to start the church life there. So, brothers, you need to be there, right, to see God's moving Africa.
So I'll keep it short. Yeah, so I think the brothers actually covered pretty much everything I was going to cover. So I'm not sure what to say, but I would just underscore maybe what Jim pointed out in message six, that this was really this point that says when we give the Lord the preeminence and our entire being, making him our first love. He becomes a divine stream to us, flowing within us and out through us as the first works, right? And that the Lord's first move was to Ethiopia. I mean, the Lord's first move to the Gentiles was to Ethiopia, which was a point C in there. So anyway, these brothers, I was so impressed. By the way, what we're talking about being witnesses, you know, you really do need to be an eyewitness, right, to really be able to enjoy the fullness of what was shared, right? But you can go, there is a video out there, and I shared it with some brothers, and it's available, that has the whole Lord's Day meeting, the last concluding meeting, from beginning to end. Everything that was shared is on that video, so you can at least see that for yourselves. And I encourage you to do that, because the testimony, I was just so encouraged that the Lord's recovery is strong in the continent of Africa, amen, which means the Lord's recovery is strong on the whole earth. Amen. You know, this was really a testimony of oneness and of how the Lord moved through these brothers, through the Spirit operating in them, through the ministry as the beltway, as our brother just shared, bringing this divine stream to them. And then because their heart was pure, they were kept in the flow, right? So there was a brother, it happened to be from Ghana, although the Lord's moving in Ghana, so don't get the wrong impression. But at that time, there was some negative influence. But the Lord kept them, preserved them, because their heart was pure and they were seeking the Lord, right? And so anyway, I just want one personal testimony. You know, we talk about patterns. Brother Paul Cook gave the last, he gave an overview of the whole move in Africa with another young brother named Paul that is now his co-worker. And Brother Paul Cook, I met him in 2001 in London. And I was not serving full-time at that time. I had no thought of serving full-time. But when I saw this brother and I saw how he lives, I actually stayed in his home, saw him with his family, saw how he exercised his spirit and was always for the Lord's interest, that was a pattern to me. Amen. And I said, if I want to be like that. Amen. I'm still not like that, but I wanted to be like that. Amen. He's very, very exercised. And because of brothers like that who are faithful and who are living Christ, who are patterns, the Lord was able to move in Africa, right? He just went to visit, you know, him and Brother Ben, back in those days, they would go, and I think we heard a lot of stories about how they went to Ghana, or no, to Cameroon, right? And they would just speak the ministry, and then people would say, you know, wow, this is so good. Where did you go to theology school? You know, where's your theology degree? They would just laugh and say, no, I'm a cook, and he's a bus driver, right? You know, anyway, so it's just, but these brothers are just learn how to exercise their spirit, how to enjoy this rich ministry, and then able to spread it through the whole earth. Anyway, the Lord is moving, brothers.